Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
I got scared. But this is something. Tomorrow is going to be an amazing opportunity, because how many guys have that guy come to your house? Or that might be you coming to somebody else's house. But it's a different, I think Thanksgiving and Christmas and holidays and birthdays bring a opportunity for us to get to know or get to get along with other people, other human beings. So I think it was a great one. Pastor John found that, and so we wanted to play that. So
I actually was going to tie that into what I was going to talk about, but it ended up not quite fitting. Yeah. I would have had to make a big stretch to make that fit, but it's still a neat video. And how many of you guys, anybody here like the guy that was in the elevator singing? Anybody have that kind of, okay, yeah, there's a few guys out there. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I'm not that way. I'm more like the guy standing over on the corner, you know, watching this, you know. But, you know, that's cool that there are people like that.
It takes all types, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And we got Pastor Hector here with you and I, John, and Hector's got a different personality, so do you, and so does myself. Any jokes for us, Hector, or anything?
I was going to put a verse up. It's Revelation 8, and can you guys put that up, Seth, 8:1? When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. My theory is there was no females there in heaven.
That's man cave, Hector. That's man cave.
It was heaven. Heavenly.
It's Pastor Hector at VBF.org.
Yes. If you want, I'll give you his cell number.
We'll put that up. So that's so funny.
Well,
you want me to start, or you want to start?
I don't care. I'll tell you what. I'm just going to jump into today's devotions just a little bit. Anybody do today's devotions? Yeah, a few, five of you out there. Okay. You guys really ought to do these. They're really good. I'm just going to give you just a quick background, because I'm not going to be real long. But the Apostle Paul. What I want to basically talk to you tonight about is the importance of the church. And the Apostle Paul went to Thessaloniki, because actually that's what it's called in Greece today. If you go there, it's called Thessaloniki. So he went to Thessalonia, which we call it in Scripture. He went to Thessalonia, and he was only there for 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and he founded this church. And that's really an amazing thing, because when you look at the importance in the, you know, there's two letters to the Thessalonians here, and all of the effort that was put into this church and Paul's feelings toward this church, that's amazing, because this thing was birthed in 3 weeks. And so I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. It says, "But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." In 3 weeks, that happened. That relationship developed in the life of Paul with that church. You know, we have a tendency when somebody says, "Hey, let's go to church," or "I'm going to go to church," we think of church as what? A building, right? That's our automatic thought. But I love what Rick Warren said. Church is not a place you go to. Church is a family that you belong to. And that family That family is us. And he birthed that church there in Thessalonians, the Thessaloniki. I can't even say it. And I want you to see, he says that he embraced them with a warm affection. He had developed this relationship with them that was so deep within a very, very short time. The reason that he had to leave after 3 weeks is he basically got run out of town. And everywhere Paul went, there was either, as Pastor Ron said, there was either a revolt or a revival. There was never any complacency. So he got run out of town. But he established this church, and in verse 11 and 12, actually, let's not go there yet. Let's go to Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely, and he leads prisoners into prosperity. The only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. That's your father. That's my father. His desire for us as his children is to bestow good things upon us, to establish us, to make things happen in our lives that are really awesome. And that's what he wants to do in us. Paul established that relationship with these folks. He was like an earthly father to them, a spiritual father to them. John 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When you say yes to Jesus, there are a lot of us that, well, those of us who are truly born again, have at some place in our life said, yes, I need Jesus. I need him in my life. My life is a mess, or maybe your life wasn't a mess, but you just recognized the fact that you needed Jesus. And you were born into the family of God. Anybody grow up in the church years ago? Okay, there's a few of us in here, all right. And back in the old days, you know, we used to call each other brother and sister. I mean, I remember in the church I grew up in, it's the First Baptist Church of Napomo, California. This little bitty tiny church, man. But everybody was either brother or sister. So Brother Snitchler, he was one of the deacons there. And we had, you know, Sister Linda and all these people I remember from back in those days. And it was, you never called somebody by their first name, you know, Linda or Leon or whatever. It was always brother so-and-so.
Brother Rizzo from another mother.
Right? Brother from another mother. That's right. And, you know, but it was part of being in the family. And the reason I want to bring this up is that a lot of people today avoid becoming a part of the family. Those people in the elevator shied away from that guy, right? A lot of them did. Some of them just stood there paralyzed like the guy, you know, trying to pretend he did not exist. You know, they didn't even want to acknowledge his presence. Other people embraced it and, you know, had fun with it. We are called to be involved in each other's lives. If you're in a family, if you're in your natural family, you guys are involved in each other's lives. You see the good things and you see the bad things, right? And that's part of being in a family. The church of God is no different. You know, I've heard so many people say, well, I just don't go to church because, you know, this is wrong. I see this wrong. I see this wrong. And this person isn't, you know, they're saying they're a Christian and yet they do this. How many have heard that? All of us probably have heard that, you know. And, you know, that's just not a good excuse. Let me read you a poem. I love this poem. If you should find the perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sake, don't join that church. You'd spoil the atmosphere. But since no perfect church exists, we're all imperfect men, then please stop looking for that church and love the church you're in. So keep on serving in your church until the resurrection, and then we will all be the church without an imperfection.
Amen.
I love that. Yeah.
Amen.
It's true. We're all imperfect. We all have major flaws. You know, Pastor Ron recently did a sermon where he said, what if a camera or if it could read your thoughts? What if people could read your thoughts? Oh, man. You know, we'd all be in trouble. And people judge others based upon what they, you know, perceive them to think or do or whatever. Yet we can't. We got to look within ourselves.
Amen.
This is where the word says that judgment begins at the house of God.
It
We've got to look at our own lives before we start getting down on other people.
It does.
And there's also a lot of people that truly, they come to the church, and you may be in this category. You may come to the church, but you don't get involved.
Yeah.
You don't let anybody near you. You're kind of a loner. God calls us not to be loners, but in each other's lives. There's a guy named Wolfgang Dierks, or there was a guy named Wolfgang Dierks, and this blows me away. This guy, he lived in Berlin. This actually happened. This guy lived in Berlin. He was a loner. He didn't like people coming around. So he disassociated himself with his family. Anybody know anybody like that? Probably several of us do. This guy was watching TV one day and he died. Guess when they found him? 5 years later, in the chair that he died in with the TV guide on his lap. And the only reason that they found him is because the automatic payments coming out of his out of his bank account for the apartment finally ran out. And so the landlord went in there. And there are people that isolate themselves and won't have anything to do with anybody else. We're called to be a part of each other's lives. We are brothers and sisters. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, the day that's drawing near here is the return of Christ. We are close to the return of Christ. And I'm telling you, now is not the time to pull away from the church. It's even more, he says, encourage one another in that time. Let's look at verse 11 and 12 of Thessalonians. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each other, each one of you, as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. God wants you to walk in a manner worthy. We need each other to help each other walk. I don't know about you, but I'm crippled. Anybody else crippled? I'm crippled, and I need help. I need somebody to come alongside me, and especially from time to time, and help me out. There's one thing that this blew me away. In Japan, there is a service that you can buy, whereby you can rent a family. Believe it, this is true. This is true. And the service isn't cheap. For 3 hours with your family can cost up to $1,130. The cheapest I found on the internet was $88 an hour. and you can rent members. This comes from people who are lonely and just need somebody. We need to be our family here, and we need to be a family to those out there. Amen.
It's so crazy because you can get it for free here, right?
That's right.
We're offering it for free. I love the fact that everybody's unique and individuals. I love that about the video. I love the fact that everyone in here has strengths and everyone has weaknesses. Everybody compliments each other. I mean, I can sit up here with Hector and John. We can do a panel, and I can see that. But I've always said, and I share that, and the people who are around me know, I go, I just want to be the best me that I can be. I can't be somebody else. I can be that, but then I can be the best thing for the body of Christ. The Bible says that we're not okay until all the parts are fitting together. That's what it says. I'm going to say this verse, and you know, just tomorrow's Thanksgiving, but I was looking ahead, and I told John and Hector, I go, I'm just going to pull this verse out because it's speaking to me about tomorrow, which is Thanksgiving, and it's in 1 Thessalonians. I said that. I even have a list, but you guys know I have a speech impediment, and so I was stressed out this whole time when he said Thessaloniki. You know, because I felt I was going to say it. Anybody ever say that where you think you're going to say a word? Now, I'll probably never be able to say this again the whole night correctly. Thessalonians, I did it. Amen. Yeah, that's a big deal for me. It is. But Thessalonians verse four, chapter 4, verse 4 and 7 says, learn to appreciate and give dignity to your body. Let's stop right there. Everyone in here is uniquely and wonderfully made. The Bible says that. It said, God wove you together. How come, why do we want to be somebody else? Why do we always want to be that? I mean, I did. I didn't want to be me. I wanted to be somebody else. That's why I worked out. So I tried to be something different. I tried to metamorph myself on the outside. But it goes on to say, we have to appreciate who we are. Not abusing it as is so common among those who know nothing about God. I remember when I knew nothing about God, I really didn't care what I had to do. Ever been that way? I mean, but now that I know God and I know God's got a purpose for me, I want to be who he wanted me to be. I wanted to be who he created me to be. It says, don't run roughshod over the concerns of your brothers and sisters. I love that because John said that. We're not supposed to worry about what other people's wrongs or rights are. I mean, how many people could say that? You could point somebody else's out before you can point yours out, right? I mean, it's like when a trial comes in or somebody does something wrong to you, why is it that we want wrath for them and grace and mercy for us? Is it just the way we're made? I mean, that's just a selfish nature. But it says their concerns are God's concern and he will take care of them. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that I know. My wife's told me many a time I make a lousy Holy Spirit. My wife will tell me, I got a Holy Spirit and it's not you. Yeah, I'm her husband. It goes on, and he will take care of them. We've warned you about this before. God hasn't invited us into a disorderly, unkept life, but into something holy and beautiful on the inside as on the outside. And what do we take most of the time on? We worry about the outside, right? God's like worried about the inside. I love that when we were in the Old Testament and God was giving Moses a plan, he started on the inside of the temple. That's where he started. God likes to start on the inside of us. I read a quote today by an author I think that we're all familiar with, and they'll put it up here real quick. It is easy to judge others when we never look honestly at ourselves. If you concentrate on getting your own act together, you will find yourself very seldom judging others. Ron Vietti, Pastor Ron. He posted that this morning. He did. But it's so true, isn't it? If we don't look to our right or our left to help others get it right, we got to look to ourselves to try to get it right. So my first PowerPoint is learn your strengths and weaknesses physically and spiritually. We both have them. I was listening to a guy the other day talking about health and how much our physiology and our psychology are meshed together. But we spend more time doing that. So I want to change. I want to be the best me I can be. So I've spent some more time doing something, and I'm going to challenge you to this. Philippians 4:13 says this. It says, I can do how many things? All things through him who strengthens me. I got another verse I want to put up, Philippians 4. It says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. How much? Everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers as requests to God. So as I was thinking about this, that nothing should be off limits, right? So why am I not praying, God, please help me not be judgmental? That hurts, right? God, help me not be too opinionated. I said too opinionated. I'm very opinionated. I mean, but not everybody needs to know my opinion. You know, I always tell my daughters that. I go, it's okay to think something, you don't have to say it. You know, your opinions can stay to yourself. And I went out and say, Lord, help me not to say the wrong things. I said the wrong things something today to my wife. I had a call back, said, honey, I'm sorry, I was just stressed out. But I mean, why aren't we praying that more than we are, God bless me? God, I need a more finances, Lord. I need to, you know, I need to be successful here. But I also said, God, why God, help me not to put others in a box. Because God doesn't put us in a box. Do you ever know that? God does not put you in a box. Your expectations yourself, I think, are way lower than God has for you. I'll say it again. Your expectations for yourself are way lower than God. God says that we're able to do all things through him. So why aren't we trying to do that? I love fitness. A lot of you guys know this. But I have to put a control on myself because I can get obsessed with that. I can get obsessed with the outside of myself. I can actually let my ego get in the way. Anybody ever had that problem? Sometimes I have to remind myself I'm older than I'll be 60 this year. But sometimes I'll try to do things and bring back something that was happening when I was 20 years old. And other people get hurt. I did that. I have a friend that I work out with. And the other day, well, not the other day, about 2 months ago, I said, let's squat again. You know what squat is? Let's do some deadlifts and some cleans. And he was kind of crazy enough to go along with me and go, okay. Within 3 weeks, we were seriously injured, both of us. I'm the one that had to came and said, hey, we need to stop doing this because we're not young anymore. We don't need to be doing this knucklehead stuff anymore. But it was so funny is I had those expectations on me. I want to stay fit, but that's not what it takes to stay fit anymore. I can put I can lower the bar a little bit on myself. I love it because in my athletic endeavors, I ended up with two eating disorders. And my eating disorders, one came from wrestling. I wrestled all through high school. And I can become anorexic real quick. I can just cut off everything, and that's not healthy. But from my bodybuilding days, I can overindulge because I had to eat 10,000 calories a day. Neither one are good. I need balance in my life, and I've actually had to ask my family to help me in that area. You know what? That's what John's saying. Family is here to help us, not to hurt us. Husbands, your wife is there to complete you, not to compete with you. I mean, these are things that we have to really, truly get. It's okay. But my daughter, the other night when I was sitting there, I told her I was going to tell her tonight, because I have an ulcer. I do. I never thought I would have an ulcer, and it's more my psychology than it is my physiology. I mean, it's funny where I can't control it, and it really troubles me a lot. And I've been trying to because I've been wanting to get off the medication, and I'm just realizing that I can't. I mean, I can't will myself not to be stressed out. I mean, when you ever be there, when you feel like you're stressing, you go, don't stress. That stresses me out. Not to worry about stressing. But it's something that I have to work on, and I'm praying about it. But two nights ago, my daughter came over because I was in this overindulging moment. And I always told my wife, I'm going to eat something, so let us be healthier. So let's buy some healthy snacks. And I was eating and eating. My daughter came over. She goes, and I had to submit to my daughter and give her the bowl of granola that I was eating. Because I'm like, Lisa, it's granola. But it wasn't because I was overindulging. Because sometimes you can overdo good stuff. You know what I'm saying? So as with my wife, she's helping me with stress. I'm trying to do that, but it also pertains to me spiritually. I've been looking at this because there's a physical and there's a spiritual balance that we have to. I want to be useful in God's family. I want to be useful to you, the folks out at Cal State, a new campus. I want to be around here a lot longer, so I have to take care of myself physically, but I also have to take care of myself spiritually. I have people, and I've got a friend here that's tonight checking me on something. I know you are, Glenn, so it's okay. We were backstage, and I asked him to do something because I allow people to hold me accountable because I want to not only be physically good, but I want to be spiritually sharp. So on Tuesday, I have two guys that will hold me accountable. On Friday, I have another one. I have Noel Stone and Glenn Allen that will hold me accountable on Tuesday, and my friend John McCormick will hold me accountable on Friday. But I don't just listen to them. I allow them to speak into my life and put checks and balances in my life. Every one of us need to have that person that you allow. Now, don't just choose and let anybody in your life. I'm not telling you that at all. You need to be picky. You need to be able to look at somebody, and they need to do it out of love. I mean, that has to be something that they need to do, is they want to be able to do it out of love. Because I want to be good on the inside, and I want to be good on the outside. And this is something that I passionately believe in, because tomorrow, everybody of us are going to have a chance to be around people. I like to be the guy in the elevator to a degree. When I first got saved, my brother was telling me, "Tom, you're wearing this out." Because I wanted them to be saved. I wanted them to know Jesus, and I was wearing them out. I had to go to God, I've shared that before, and get a plan. Well, my whole family's saved now, so I want to be something else. You know what I thought I need to do? I need to pray that I listen more than I speak. You know, we have two of these. We only have one of these. So it must mean that we're supposed to use these more often in their mouth. And I've always known that you can learn something about somebody more by listening than you can talking. So I'm praying that maybe I need to quit talking. I mean, that's not a prayer that you want to pray all the time, right? But maybe it is something we need to, because there are some things that are our strength that maybe are a weakness. I mean, I communicate. If you're around me at Cal State, I will sit there and I'll talk to people and stop them from doing things. Because at Cal State, we move in all of our equipment and we move it out every Sunday. And so I'll need Glenn to come over and go, "Tom, are you done talking? Because we need to load the equipment." So, and people will stand around, but my gift sometimes will stall something that's going on. Does that make sense?
Good.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's good or not, but I'm just saying. Glenn will tell me that, "Tom, he'll ask me sometimes, is there something else you can do? Go away from this area and help it." It's as simple as that. I mean, it is. Sometimes I don't have to be something. People come to me with fitness all the time, and I try to help them, and I realize that I'm not the guy. I've got another friend, Logan, who I say, "Go see Logan, because he will help you much more than I can." So all I want to say is that God wants us. He's given us, he's created us, made us unique. We're not like anybody else. He said, "I want you to be the best you that you can be." You don't have to imitate anybody else, because every one of you are special. And the way to find that out is go to God. He will actually help you get okay inside and out. I think we both need a good balance on that. So.
I think you're a good listener. You're a really good listener. You are.
Thank you, Hector.
You are. Can you put the verses up? It's 1 Corinthians 11:1. Okay, let's start with 4:15. For you are to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Okay, put the next one up. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. Okay, go ahead and put the next one up. That's Corinthians. You know what Paul was saying, and it stood out to me as I did my devotionals. He says, "Imitate me, as I imitate Christ." And that is audacious. It's bold. It's like crazy good that he would say something like that. Be like me. Endeavor to be like me. Aspire to be like me. And to me, it's like, man, we know Paul. He's not bragging. This is in the midst of criticism, in the midst of being attacked. This man is saying, be like me. Yes, I am a role model. Isn't that stepping out a little bit? That's stepping out on a limb. And he was not afraid to say that. Yes, I am. Well, who was it? Barclay? Charles Barclay said, "I'm not. Yeah. I'm not a role model." And sometimes, you know, people in our world and our culture, they don't want to take that responsibility. They don't want that on them. And whether they want to or not, we are all role models. You can either be a good one, mm-hmm, or a poor one. And I think we can even say that about ourselves. We can be role models. You can be an imitator. You can tell people, "Hey, imitate me as I imitate Christ." The only condition being, if you're not imitating Christ, don't tell people to follow you. If it's in your attitudes, in your actions, that you're not imitating Christ, and that promise is not for you. So, as I was doing my devotionals, that kept coming up. And I think it's crazy good. And the next one is in Philippians. You want to put that one up, you guys? Philippians 3:17. "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." And then the next one, 4:9. Not 4:19, 4:9. The things you have learned, received, and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Mm-hmm. If you don't have peace, maybe you're not doing that. Maybe you're not practicing the stuff that you've learned and received and heard in what's written in here. Maybe that's why you don't have peace. And I look at that because in another place it says, Paul says, it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. He was saying, I'm the chief. I'm the number one sinner. That's what he was saying there. So how do you, you know, how can he say that? Say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And then on the other hand, he's saying, it wasn't past tense. He wasn't saying, I was the chief of sinners. What did he say? I am. I am the chief of sinners. I am the foremost of sinners. In other words, in Romans it says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. So Paul is talking about his imperfections. You know, to me, how can he say, imitate me, with on one side of his mouth, and on the other side of his mouth say, I'm imperfect, man. I'm a sinner. I'm a chief. And that's a question I have for myself, and I think what it is, it's a beautiful picture of God's mercy. And God's grace, man, how God uses our imperfections. God needs imperfect vessels out in the world. He needs that, that imperfection. We're displaying that, that mercy and of the Lord. It doesn't mean that it's a license to sin either. It doesn't mean, you know, hey, because you don't want that to be said of you. Hey, that guy's a Christian, but like a byword, kind of laugh at you. Oh, that guy's a Christian, but, or that girl's a Christian, but I don't know. You don't want to be a stumbling block either. The other thing that stood out to me, it really encouraged me, is how. I mean, how do you become an imitator? The way is if you hang out with someone, they'll rub off on you. You hang out with God, his attributes, his characteristics start rubbing off on you. You'll become more like him. You know, what is God's love language? Isn't it time? I think one of them is time. But the more time you spend with him, the more you'll become like him. And I think about your friends. Think about your sphere of influence. You start mimicking each other. You know, the peers that you run with, the people that you run with. The people that I run with, they have to me, they've got a love for this. The promises that are in here. They love reading it. They love the author of this book. They like to ride bikes. They like, gotta like jokes. If you want to be my friend, you gotta like dumb jokes, right? You gotta like corny, dumb, sometimes racial jokes, okay? You gotta like to laugh. You gotta like prayer.
Yes.
You know, I believe in it. I believe in the promises of God, but you got to believe in the prayer. You got to believe that God hears you. You got to believe that you can get a hold of God, have tremendous friends. But I thought about that, how we kind of start, you hang out with people and you start morphing like a husband and wife. My wife, over the years, we've been married 34 years, she has kind of morphed into me and vice versa. You know, some of the stuff, we become like each other. And that's how, you know, I thought about Paul. And and as I get older, I think about these men of God. I think about Moses and David and Abraham. And were they perfect? Mm-mm. Were they perfect? No. They were patriarchs. They were awesome men of God. They were not perfect, but I love their relationship. They were straight up with God. They were honest. They sometimes that Moses would border on disrespect sometimes, some of the stuff he said to him. But you think about David. David had a lust problem. He loved women. Moses had an anger problem, right? Mm-hmm. Threw the tablets down. Abraham was a liar. Remember, he lied about Sarah. It's my half. Tell him you're my sister, not my wife. He was afraid because he was fine. She was real fine. He's afraid that the Pharaoh was going to sleep with her. What was Abraham's nickname? What was Abraham's nickname? Remember, he had a nickname?
This a test?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't study.
What was that, John? What was Abraham's nickname? Friend of God.
Oh.
Friend of God.
Being the friend of God.
I was going to say that, John.
It's deeper. It's deeper than just a disciple. It's a higher level. Yeah. Friend. I was struggling a few months back about my imperfections. And to be honest, I was confessing some stuff to God. I was confessing my sins. And God whispered to me. God's awesome. God's good. He said, not only do I love you, Hector, I like you. And I said, what? Not only do I love you, I like you. And I tripped on that. It was really neat because people will say they love you. I've heard people do it in a religious, with a religious tone. Oh, yeah, I love you. I love you in the Lord. I love you through Jesus. And you know they don't like you. Right? In their attitude. You know they don't want to be around you. They don't like you. They don't care for you. And God said, man, not only do I love you, Hector, you're my friend. Because we call God our friend, right? God, you're my friend. But when he reciprocates that, he says, not only are you my friend, I'm your friend, or vice versa. And I'm a friend of God. And it kind of shows in the language we use with him too. The way some of these men of God talk with him. In Exodus, as God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments, what did God tell Moses? Hey, your people they're acting a fool down there. They're partying. You better get down there, Moses. Your people. He turned it on Moses. Before that, it was always God's people. And then Moses came back to God, and he took up for him because God said, stand back. Let me wipe them out. Let me destroy them. Remember that? He said, stand back. Let's do a reboot here, man. Let me destroy these people. And what did Moses say? Well, Lord, if the nations hear about this, that you turned your back on your... You see, it was classic how Moses responded. He turned it around. God says, your people. And then Moses turned it around and said, your people. Almost like parents. When our kids misbehave, what do? That's your kids. That's your son. They were doing that back and forth. Think about how candid that was. How honest that was. Even getting angry with God. We think, well, that's a sin, man, to get angry with God. Think about it. Look at it this way. In a marriage, if there's no communication, in Spanish we call it leva. Have you guys ever heard that, leva? You put your spouse on the leva. It's Cold War. It's Cold War, right? It's silent treatment. You put your spouse on the leva. You stop talking. It's worse. It's more destructive because your spouse is speculating things and the devil's going, you know, running rampant. I think even angry communication is better than none. And I think the same way with God. Even if you are angry with the Lord, tell him. If you got a beef with him, tell him. But I love the way these guys would speak. They would speak to God. I want to just end with this. We model the grace message through our imperfect lives as role models. We model it. Number two, in our relationship with him, we call God our friend, but he reciprocates that. How did he update it? How did Jesus update it in the New Testament? He said, no longer do I call you slaves. That was the relationship way back in the day. No longer do I call you slaves. What does he call us now? Friends. For the slave doesn't know what the master's doing. The slave doesn't know what's up. The third thing, in the way we approach God, in our relationship with him, God wants honesty. You know, straight up, God wants honesty. He wants to hear our hearts. He does not want us to be afraid of him. Okay, I want to go ahead and close in prayer. And you guys, I want to go ahead and call the prayer team up. You guys come on up. And if you don't know the Lord, the last time I hesitated on an altar call at a funeral, a young man was in an accident, and I said, you know what, never again. I'm always going to ask. As everybody's heads bow, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the message, the way Tom and John and the way the messages were cohesive. And Lord, we want to tell you before tomorrow, we want to thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings, God. Thank you for an awesome church. Thank you for a good body of believers. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. And I'm praying, as everybody's heads bowed and you do not know the Lord, and you'd like to receive him into your heart, the only way to do this Christianity thing is 100%, all the way, fully surrendered to God. So I want to pray, if that's you, you say, you know what, I've been on that line, I haven't committed to God, or let's say you have. Let's say you've been a believer and you've deviated, you've walked away. We want to give you that opportunity. You're not here by coincidence. You're not here by happenstance. God loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. So if that's you, I want you to just raise your hand where you're at. Anybody here would like to accept the Lord? I want to pray with you. Anybody at all here? Anybody here at all? Good. I see some hands in the back. Okay, I see some hands in the back. I see a hand over here. I see a hand right here. Well, let me just, believers, could you pray with me along with these people that have raised their hand? Just pray, just repeat after me. Dear God, I humbly come before you. I thank you for dying for me on the cross and shedding your precious blood. I cannot change without you. I need you. Now fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And show me what it means to be a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys, have a good Thanksgiving. God bless you. Tom's going to go ahead and end it.
Hope you have a great day. See you guys on Sunday.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our